Of course, tomorrow is the big memorial service for the funeral service for Muhammad Ali. And folks from all different false beliefs are joining together, along with the Christians, Christianity, of course, which he denounced. He denounced Christ in around 1964. And I don't understand that. And every country in the history of the world who has followed Islam has never prospered. They rarely prosper. They're so oppressive. They're oppressive to, of course, terribly oppressive to women, oppressive to the economy. It's just, it's not a good setup. And Islam, since its founding, has always been, their goal has been world domination. It always has been. There's been different times in history where Islam has made a stand to try to conquer Europe, conquer different places. And we just got to beware of that stuff. Our country as a nation has failed its people by allowing the stronghold that is come here already, because their faith is out for world domination. Christianity is whosoever will. Jesus says whosoever will. He don't demand. You have a right to go to hell if you want to. You have a right not to be a Christian if you don't want to. It's a whosoever will. But Islam is, if you're not, then it's to kill the infidels. It's a bad deal. I remember Phil Stringer telling me, it had nothing to do with our message here anyway, but I remember Phil Stringer telling me when he was in Chicago that there were more mosques in Chicago than Baptist churches. We've allowed that to happen. We've allowed that to happen. And we're reaping what we've sown. People turning against Christ, against Christianity, and God said that it would be that way. In fact, God tells us to marvel not at it. If thou seest a violent oppression and perverting of justice in a province, he says, marvel not at the matter. He said, for he that is higher regardeth also, and there is higher than they. So God knows what's going on. It's just, it should sadden a Christian. Grieve the Holy Spirit of God that we've allowed this to happen in this country. And now we've got two yard birds running for president. I don't know what's going to happen out of that. So God says, he that warreth a warfare entangleth not himself with the affairs of this life. God says, if you're a Christian, don't get mixed up in it. Don't get involved in it. Don't get entangled up in those kind of messes. And we want to, you know. Christians have always been fighters. We want to jump in there and try to fix it, but God knows what's going on, and God will bring about his purpose. All right, now, that little monologue that I did there to get started. Take your Bibles, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul speaking here, he said, finally, brethren. Now, I've noticed a lot of these books, Paul say finally, and he'll say it three or four times. He kind of reminds me of Baptist preachers. Well, in closing, about 15 minutes later, he'd say, well, lastly, and so forth. But Paul says here, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. I love that verse. You know, a lot of folks think, well, you 1% doubt, 100% loss. No, that's putting a lot of confidence in the flesh. You better not go there. You better not start thinking that there's something that you can't do there or you would never do, because that flesh will let you down. That flesh will sneak up on you. Beware, he that thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Just when you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. So Paul backs it up here and he says, we are those that have no confidence in the flesh. The flesh is capable of anything. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Then he gives his pedigree. He says, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, is touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Remember, we've talked about that word blameless. Didn't say he was sinless, but he had done all the sacrifices, all the ordinances. According to the law, he was blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Notice that preposition of. It's his faithfulness. It's his faithfulness that gives us righteousness. He became the end of the law for righteousness. He said, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, his faithfulness in living a sinless life, holy, sinless, undefiled, the perfect sacrifice, without spot, without blemish. And it was his faithfulness and our faith in that. The righteousness which is of God. Where does the righteousness come from? It's of God. By faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Being made conformable unto his death. And if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, for this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. My, my, my. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord, help us to get over it. Put things behind us, Lord, and just look forward. Look to the cause of Christ and look within ourselves to our own lives and our own walk in Christ, Father, that we might grow every day in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, that we might exalt our precious Lord through our lives, and that all those things from our past, Lord, that we get over it and move on, Father, and confess it and move on. Help us to do that, Lord, and help us to continue to strive to bring glory to you, Lord. Thank you for that precious Spirit of God that empowers us and enables us to walk that walk, Lord. If we just yield to that Spirit, help us, give us the strength to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now here in the first part of the chapter of Philippians here, he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He told him to be filled with the fruits of righteousness, and he said to be sincere about it. And that he's the one that begun this work. It's when that Holy Spirit entered you. And that's when I mentioned before what Jack Grigsby used to tell Berean Baptist Church. He said, you're under a new administrator, a new administration, and you do the works of God. No longer follow the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You're supposed to look beyond that, knowing that it's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God that should be doing the performing in your life. As long as we're doing the performing, we're going to have problems. But he wants to do the performance. He says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That's verse 27. He said in Philippians 2 and verse 3, he said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves, and look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. For it is God which worketh, here it is again, which worketh in you, worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, of whom you shine as lights in the world. So that's where we're at today. We're in a crooked and a perverse nation. The world has gone that way. We champion all those things that God finds abominable and filthy. And yet our governments champion those things. Our culture and our society champions those things. And obviously God is not pleased with that. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he might show himself strong in the behalf of them whose hearts are perfect toward him. So he wants to show himself strong toward those who are sticking to it, sticking to the book and trying to walk the walk. He's angry with the wicked every day. He beholds the evil and the good. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So God knows what's going on, and he's our advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, a high priest, seated at the right hand of the Father, and he makes intercession for us according to God's will. And he tells us that our walk should not be a walk of strife and vainglory. We're not here to outdo other churches. We're not here to outdo other Christians. We're here for the cause of Christ and to bring glory to our Savior. We're here to be a witness. In our text, it says that we are light, the light of the world. We're to be a candle, as a light that shineth unto a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. That's what we're to be. That's what God wants us to be. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. No longer our will. No longer our dreams. I really believe that if a man's called into the ministry, his life, if the ministry isn't part of his life, if the man's truly called, the ministry is instead of his life. And that's not always easy to do. Well, I want to do this and I want to do that. Well, what does God want you to do? If God called you, there's nothing greater than a holy calling of God. I don't believe there's anything greater. To be a servant of the Most High God. But it's not my life anymore. It's not your life. If God has called you to a purpose, you're here for him. To bring him pleasure. Isn't that what it says in Revelation? All things created by him for his pleasure. They are and were created. We're created for his pleasure, not our own. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Man, you'll find more disputings, more murmurings, it seems like, among churches and church members than you will the worldly crowd. I don't understand that. It's the flesh. Of course, Paul said earlier, said we're the ones who don't have any confidence in the flesh. Why? Because look around. If there has not been murmuring and disputings in the church, we'd never have a church split. There'd never and churches all over the country are constantly splitting. Churches splitting over something stupid most of the time. Rarely is it over doctrinal issue. It's normally over personalities. It says that you may be blameless and harmless. See, I don't want to do anything that harms the cause of Christ. I don't want to do anything that brings a reproach to my Savior, Jesus Christ. God knows that in my heart, I don't want to be guilty of bringing a reproach to my Savior. And it can happen with preachers. It can happen with you. Something will come along and you'll do something stupid, and all of a sudden it reflects back on the church and brings reproach to the church. I fear that. I ask God to put a hedge about our church and about me. Because he knoweth our frame and remembers that we're dust. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights of the world. Then in our text he says, finally. After all that, he says, finally, he said, we're the ones that worship God in the Spirit. And we rejoice in Jesus Christ. We've got something to rejoice about. And we don't have any confidence in the flesh. He said, if anyone should have confidence in the flesh, it ought to be him. Paul said, if any man should glory, I should be able to with the pedigree I've got. Circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. He did everything that his religion required him to do. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Brother Sam and Brother Jake, those folks are involved with this mission to the Amish. And that's a tough place to be, because that culture is so steeped in religion and tradition and ritual. And it's been pounded into their minds that they can attain to God's righteousness by being good. And half the traditions that they follow are not Bible traditions. They're traditions that men have come up with. The Lord told the Jews, said, you teach for doctrine the commandments of men, following those traditions. So they've got a battle. Sam's got a battle on his hand. And I've ran this through with my mind. I've consulted with people. One of the preachers, Brother Phil, preaches for, is a certified therapist, a Christian counselor, and I've even sent the letter. I told Sam what it's going to do to him. Go and the responses he gets back from the Amish people. How do you approach? What's the best way? Is this approach a right approach to have? What, you know? But that's what we're stuck with in America. Folks think things are right that are totally contrary to the Word of God. Folks think that homosexuality is okay. Well, I think a person should be able to love whoever they want to love. God says it's abomination and it's wickedness and it's confusion. So when we stand with God, we're going to be in opposition to the culture. Abortion. You know, the certain groups say, well, it's a woman's choice. It's a right. You don't have a right to tell a woman what to do. But God says he requires life for life. God don't call it a fetus. When Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, called it a babe. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. That baby have a circulatory system. But see, that crowd thinks that they're doing right by taking these stands. And it's one of two things. They either don't know God's position or they don't agree with God's position on these matters. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So that decision of serving the Lord and glorifying him and sticking to his word and believing his book and following it is getting tougher with each generation. Thank God for His grace. And it's hard to not let some of the world creep into the church. It's very difficult. You don't want to be branded a cult, or you don't want to be branded as radicals or extremists. I want to welcome everyone into the church, but folks need to know that this is the authority. It's nevertheless, what saith the scriptures? I don't care what you were taught in school. I don't care what your mama said or your grandpa or the last church you went to. Here's what the book says. Deal with it. And if you want to serve Him and you want to live right, then just do what He says to do. Don't do what you feel is right. Do what God says is right. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Then down in verse 13, he finally says, in so many words that we need to forget about the past and move on. He said, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. And we've all got a past. Everyone in here has got some past foolishness that you hopefully have repented of and given to God. And God says, as far as the east is from the west, so I remember your transgressions no more. So you, if God got over them, you need to get over them. If God don't remember your iniquities anymore, why are you hanging on to them? You need to get over it. And you got to get over it so you can move forward. You can't stay in the past. So as we kind of look at our ministry, the ministries down through the ages, we've got to adapt. Paul said, I become all things to all people that I may win some. I may by all means save some. We need to adapt. We need to look at some of these things on a way to reach this lost world and reach this crazy world. And we can't do it by compromising the book. We got to do it within what God tells us to do. That word don't change. God don't change. He says, I change not. Says, neither in Him is there any variableness nor shadow of turning. So we're going to have to prayerfully seek God's will on how we reach this crazy world that we live in. I think one of the best way to do it is to live a holy life, be a shining light, show this world that don't be so condemning. They don't know any better. They just need Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I came not to condemn the world. He said, they're condemned already. And this is a condemnation that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So if we as a church, if all we do is have our preacher stand up here and condemn everybody, it'll make us feel good about ourselves. Man, I'm glad I'm not like the rest of this crowd. I don't know how that church does it. Well, we're a lot holier than they are. We're a lot more spiritual than that crowd down the road. Well, you maybe are. I hope we are. But we need to pray for those folks. We need to pray for the lost around us. But most of the homes I go into, they've never been told. They've never heard it. They get what they know from TV or a textbook written by some godless person, Christ denying, Bible rejecting person, and they just don't know. But we need to look forward. I heard a preacher, Brother Woods, one time preach on that passage of Scripture. He said that means even forgetting the good things that you do. We look at that about forgetting our sinful past, but he says, no, forget all the good things you did yesterday because it's a new day. Forget about all the things you did for God yesterday. It's time to look forward. What are you going to do for him today? And what are you going to do for him tomorrow and next week and next month? That's a pretty good take. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Micah 7:19, he will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. I like that. You know why I like that verse? Because of what it says in Revelation 21. Now, he put all our sins in the depths of the sea. Is that right? That's what he said. Then in Revelation 21:1, he said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Isn't that good? That verse just said that your sins are history. If he cast them in the depth of the sea, in the depths of the sea, then he said there's no more sea. That's pretty cool. Isaiah 38:17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. If God is omnipresent, that means he's everywhere all the time. And he cast my sins behind his back, and then he's everywhere all the time. Where are they? They're gone. Praise God. My sins are gone. How's that song go? We need to understand that before we can move forward. We need to understand that God has already dealt with our past. Every day is a new beginning. Every sunrise brings new possibilities to a child of God. You can't relive yesterday. What's a New York thing? Forget about it. I lived with a guy from Queens when I was in college. Philip Cacavelli. He grew up from Queens, New York. I said, Phil, you Roman Catholic? He said, you mean there's another religion? He thought that's all there was, you know. I said, oh, yeah. But his mama would send him. He'd go home and he'd come back with a bunch of frozen veal parmesan. Oh, Italian family, man, his mama could cook. It's unlike anything I ate in an Italian restaurant. Good. Forget about it. Get over your past. Even the good stuff. It's all written down. The good stuff is all written down. The bad stuff's in the depths of the sea, and the sea is no more, or will be no more. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. That's Psalms 90, verse 4. We've got a new addition on this building. When I came here, that little building, it was called Hope Missionary Baptist Church. And I told folks when I came, I said, that don't say stationary, it says missionary. We've got a new addition. We need to walk in some newness in our ministries here. You can't just stay still. Anybody in business today will tell you, whenever you're standing still, you're falling behind. And we can fall behind for the cause of Christ if we just roll over and play dead and wait for the Lord to come. Remember, the Lord said he was about his Father's business. We need to be about our Father's business. We need to take it seriously. We need to get out and do it. Get the job done. Get her done. I've had folks work on my house and never did finish the job. And that Christ said that we're here to finish his work. Now, when he died on the cross, he said it is finished. But we're the body of Christ here on earth. We're to win souls to Christ. We're to be a shining light to the world. But no matter what you've sown last year, that's all behind you. Sowing and reaping. Some may have sown to the flesh. Isaiah 61:11, for as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as a garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth. Anybody got a garden here this year? I got home from the hospital tonight, and I tilled what little garden I had, and it liked to rank me. My back's hurting. I'm too old, and I'm too fat. I'm too out of shape. I'm too a lot of things. Try to get Lonnie to come over and till it. Do you think he'd come over to my house till my garden? Pardon? I didn't call him. I didn't really ask him to do that. One of our cousins, Tony Gabbard, Harry Gabbard. Tony come to me trying to borrow money one time. He's good for borrowing, but kind of bad for paying it back. And he wanted, I forget what it was, wanting to bear. And I knew his brother was right up at the corner of the car lot, Brother Harry. I said, Tony, he said, why don't you go up and see your Brother Harry? He probably got the money to loan you. He said, ha! He wouldn't loan me a setting egg. That's what he said. Anybody? How did I get off on that? Everybody know what a setting egg is? You know, Jerry, I guess you know what a setting egg is. You do? Okay. All right. As the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Hosea 8:11, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It has no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. Haggai 1:6, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. You wonder where some of these phrases come up with. We come up with, most of them come from the Bible. It said, give him money. It said, his pocket's got a big hole in it. It means he goes through it pretty fast, like this Bible verse here. He that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Don't last too long. Mark 4:31, it said it is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Hey, we sow to the Spirit and not to the flesh. And what we sow to the Spirit, we'll reap spiritual benefits. God will give you peace and joy, those things that we talked about Sunday, that you got to ask God to give you those things, that fruit of the Spirit. He's the one that brings forth that fruit. He's the one that brings forth that peace, love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That all comes from God. But this one thing I do, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. Missed opportunities are gone. Forgetting the good we've done. We need to get beyond that too. You can't do a good thing and rest in your laurels for the rest of your life until the Lord comes back. We're to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. We need to do something for him. What's God have in mind for you? Some of you God has spared from heart attacks, some from cancer, some from serious surgeries. He didn't spare you from those things to just have you roll over and play dead. He spared you from things to that you might go on and serve him. Be a witness for him. Do what you can. He's not looking for stuff that you can't do. He says, such things as you have. That's what he's looking for. You give him what you've got to give him. And get over your past. I know around this room, I know people have done a lot of wonderful things for Christ in the past. God says, you're still here. I still got you here for a reason. Remember, Paul said, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He said, in fact, it's far better to depart and be with the Lord. He said, it's far better. Then he said something very interesting. He said, but it is more needful for you that I stay. You kind of think that maybe as long as God has a need, someone has a need for you in their lives, that maybe that's the reason God's keeping you around. Paul said, well, it'd be a lot better for me if I just left this world and went on to be with the Lord, but it's more needful for you that I stay. Don't give up. Don't give up. You got grandkids to pray for. You got kids to pray for. You got folks to be a witness to. There's folks here that need you. If ever generation needed the body of Christ and the light of Christ, it's this generation. You're needed. God has a need. Let's fill that need. The challenge is to put those things behind you and move on to the glory of God. I'm done. Everyone stand up tonight.